Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking with Elizabeth Coy about caregiving for a parent with Parkinson's. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Elizabeth is in her mid-50s and lives in Northwest Indiana. She has one adult child who will be graduating with her undergraduate degree and then heading off to optometry school in this upcoming fall. Elizabeth has both her undergrad and master's degree and works for a nationwide Fortune 500 security and fire and life safety company. Having taken care of one parent who passed away, in 2015 from pancreatic cancer and Alzheimer's, Elizabeth is now taking care of her 86-year-old father, who is living with Lewy body Parkinson's disease. Hi, Elizabeth. At this point, may I ask, is it okay to call you Liz, or how do you wish to be addressed?
Liz is fine. Okay. Thank you.
Well, good morning, Liz. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for inviting me to be on your podcast. I am deeply honored to be able to speak about caregiving for my dad and speak on behalf of other caregivers who care for family members and loved ones with Parkinson's.
Yeah, the world would be a better place with more people like you.
Yes.
Right. I understand, again, we're talking about Parkinson's caregiving. I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar with Parkinson's, but can you start us out by explaining what exactly is Parkinson's disease?
According to the Parkinson's Foundation, Parkinson's disease, also known as PD, is a disorder that affects predominantly dopamine-producing neurons in a specific area of the brain called substantia nigra.
Okay. And what were the symptoms that made your dad seek out medical care? And also, what are the typical symptoms of Parkinson's?
Again, referring to the Parkinson's Foundation, symptoms generally develop slowly over years. The progression of symptoms is often a bit different from one person to another, to the diversity of the disease. People with Parkinson's may experience tremors, mainly at rest and described as pill-rolling tremors in their hands. Other forms of tremors are also possible. Limb rigidity, also referred to as freezing. Gait and balance problems. My father's symptoms started with noticing him having difficulty walking. He was always a very active young man and adult, but I noticed him not going to the gym as often, and the way that he walked appeared to be shuffling. He also started to show signs of dry eye due to a lack of blinking, which is also a sign of Parkinson's. Okay. Another Parkinson's symptoms that I was unaware of is the dislike for anything cold. It irritated his throat.
Oh,
he was also beginning to drool while he napped. This, again, is also a sign of Parkinson's.
Okay.
The act of swallowing involves a complex series of activities that begin in the mouth, continue to the pharynx, and end in the esophagus. These include chewing, using of your tongue to move the bolus of food to the back of the throat, then coordinate those muscles that both propel the food into the esophagus and protect the airway and trachea from food penetration. Swallowing can also be known as dysphagia, can be considered both a motor and non-motor symptom of Parkinson's disease.
Okay. And do you know what causes Parkinson's, and is there a cure?
The cause remains largely unknown. Scientists believe a combination of genetic and environmental factors are the cause of Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's is an extremely diverse disorder. I would like to stress that no two people experience Parkinson's the same way. There are some commonalities. There are over 1 million people in the United States and 10 million worldwide. The main finding in brains of people with Parkinson's is loss of dopaminergic neurons in the area of the brain, again known as substantia nigra.
Okay.
And although there's no cure, options vary, but you should also speak with a movement disorder specialist. There are many medications. Some people have surgery. Parkinson's itself is not fatal. The disease complications can be serious.
And can you tell us what it's like being a Parkinson's caregiver or a caregiver for someone living with Parkinson's disease?
Like they say, it takes an army to raise a child. That is also true with being a Parkinson's caregiver. My father has Lewy bodies Parkinson's, so his onset was later in life, but the onset and the progression are fierce. 2 years ago, he was driving and walking.
Yeah, it is a hard thing to deal with when it's so close to your heart.
Now he no longer drives. He needs assistance getting from the chair to the dining room table.
Oh, wow. That is a big change. And that's just in 2 years.
Just in 2 years. What people need to understand is that Parkinson's is so much more than the tremors mm-hmm. than most people relate to Parkinson's. It is just the tip of the iceberg. The tremors is minuscule to the freezing, the slowness of everything, including movement, speech, and thought. The number of medications and the doctor visits have just become overwhelming. The cognitive decline is the most devastating to the patient, and especially the caregiver. A member of my Parkinson's caregiver support group on Facebook wanted me to reiterate to listeners that people should always ask how the person with Parkinson's is doing, but even more importantly, ask how the caregiver mm-hmm. is doing.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Offering help could include spending 1 hour with the patient so the caregiver can simply sit alone in silence.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Or even, you know, even go out shopping or, yeah, do something. Yeah. And thank you for, you know, taking the time to be with us today. And, you know, yeah, we know this is very hard. How much of a concern is it now with COVID, and how have you guys been handling that?
Well, due to COVID, most of the doctor's appointments were delayed or were done via Zoom or Microsoft Teams.
Okay.
Again, due to COVID, it was very difficult even getting my dad's medications refilled.
Oh, wow.
He was restricted in where he could go before, but now it was even more difficult to even get him out of the house safely and,
sure.
and protected.
Sure.
But a lot of the healthcare facilities did everything via Zoom or Microsoft Teams, which was difficult if you didn't have a larger iPad or you didn't have a camera because
sure.
they wanted to see his movement.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they
absolutely.
Wanted to talk to him. They
yeah.
wanted to ask him questions. And so it was a different type of interaction. I'm sure a lot of people experience that with their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of students experience mm-hmm. that with e-learning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Definitely a challenge.
Right.
Well, you know, I want to thank you for coming in and talking with us. We can see how emotional this gets. So we do appreciate you telling your story. Can you tell our listeners how common Parkinson's disease is?
Nearly 1 million will be living with Parkinson's disease, which can be abbreviated again by PD. That's in the United States by 2020. Which is more than the combined number of people diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, and Lou Gehrig's disease.
Wow.
Wow, did not know that.
No.
Another interesting fact is more than 10 million people worldwide are living with Parkinson's.
Hmm. Wow. That's incredible.
That's a large number.
And for men, mm-hmm. they are 1.5 times more likely to have Parkinson's than women.
Wow.
I wonder if it's got like a sex gene...
Link somewhere,
something.
Maybe.
Well, I'm sure they're doing lots of research.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Liz, would you mind telling us a little bit about how this is diagnosed?
Well, there is no one way to diagnose Parkinson's disease. However, there are various symptoms and diagnostic tests used in combination. Making an accurate diagnosis of Parkinson's, particularly in its early stages, is difficult. But a skilled practitioner can come to a reasonable conclusion that it is Parkinson's. It's important to remember that 2 of the 4 main symptoms must be present over a period of time for a neurologist to consider a Parkinson's diagnosis. Those include shaking or tremors, slowness of the movement, stiffness or rigidity in the arms, legs, or trunk, trouble with balance, and possible falls. Often a Parkinson's diagnosis is first made by an internist or a family physician. This didn't happen in my case. A physical therapist who came to do some physical therapy for my dad in my home pointed out to me that he had Parkinson's-like movement and that I should have him checked out.
Oh.
Wow.
Because he was having difficulty walking and I saw him shuffling,
mm-hmm.
I was proactive, and I called and took him into the doctor and said that we'd like to have some physical therapy for him just to keep him active and keep him moving.
Right.
It was the physical therapist who said to me, not even the family physician, but she said, I've seen this before, and these are Parkinson's-like symptoms, and you should take him further.
Okay.
And so, you know, you see your parents age, you see them slowing down, and everybody said, oh, he's in his 80s, you know, it's, you know, that's natural, that's, and I just kept looking at him and thinking,
something's not right.
Right.
Yeah.
His steps were slower, he was
shuffling.
And it was very concentrated walking. And when I would talk to him, he would look at me, and I would motion for him to say something because I know his thoughts are there, but it wouldn't come out.
Okay. Right.
Does that have something to do, too, also with, like, how they may hold their posture with their head?
Exactly.
Okay.
So a lot of his posture is bent forward.
Right.
He has a hard time lifting his head. Putting his head back, sitting back. So you see a lot of that forward, they just tend to lean a certain way.
And was that a progression over time?
That was a progression over time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I want to say that when we've spoken with someone with Parkinson's before, they said one thing that they do is like yell therapy.
What?
Yes. Just to try to yell therapy, where they just yell.
Like shout?
Yes.
Okay.
Just to try to keep it, you know. Yeah.
Well, we had a speech pathologist come in as well, because again, a lot of things happen in the mouth. So drooling, eating, swallowing. Right. I mean, everything that has to do with your mouth. So they came in and my dad is a bugler.
Oh.
So he plays the trumpet and he plays the saxophone. And they came in and just did exercises with his tongue and his mouth. And they would sing.
Oh, they actually wonderful. Would sing.
So that's all part of, you know, the different types of therapy that are available. Because one thing you don't want is to aspirate and not be able to swallow or chew.
So you just mentioned a couple of therapies. Are you familiar with any other treatments that somebody with Parkinson's might get?
Well, there's no standard treatment for Parkinson's. Treatments include medication, surgical therapy. My dad was fortunate enough to be in Arizona with my sister.
Okay.
We had decided that he was going to be a snowbird because in Northwest Indiana, we have cold weather. And Parkinson's are always cold. So he went to Arizona for the winter, and he was fortunate enough to go to the Muhammad Ali Center.
Oh, wonderful.
So they do a lot of therapy there.
Did not know that.
Punching, boxing, you know, so those are all. And I think that, you know, for someone who's diagnosed in their 50s, maybe something that would be appealing. My dad's 86. He doesn't, you know, I mean, he used to, but the reality is that he's got a dual, he's got the age, and then he has the disease. Some people say that, you know, walking and trying to get, you know, at least minimally 5,000 steps per day is productive for people who have Parkinson's. Again, my dad has difficulty moving from one chair to the other. So, again, you just, every phase is different with the disease. So whatever works for that individual, that's what they
should
do.
And he's lucky to have you and your sister. They're trying everything you can, and really, that's wonderful that you're able to have him in the warmest place possible and very comfy, too.
Yeah.
Well, what tips do you have for someone who does have a loved one recently diagnosed with Parkinson's?
I would have the loved one seen by both a neurologist and a movement disorder specialist. My father is of cognitive mind. However, the brain doesn't function the way that it used to, and his body is no longer functioning the way that it has. Look into ways to make their life a little easier. When my father came to live with me, I remodeled the entire lower level to an ADA standard. I had a walk-in shower designed to assist him and had a built-in sit chair with handles to make sure he had something to grab onto. I purchased a lift chair, and although he didn't need it at the time, he certainly needs it today. I purchased a raised toilet seat with sidebars to help him sit and rise after using the facilities. We just recently purchased a new bed that allows for massages and lifts both his legs and his head. There are even little things that I find on the support groups, such as weighted utensils to help with the tremors while trying to eat. I purchased speakers for him to sit directly behind his ears in his recliner so only he can hear the television and not the entire house.
Or the neighbors.
It was extremely hard with COVID, with myself working from home and my daughter taking remote learning, and then my dad had the TV on all day and the volume was so high. Nobody could think.
Right. Okay.
But in the support group, someone mentioned these.
It's a great tip.
Very speakers, good tip. And yes. It was the best purchase I could have ever done.
That's good.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And Liz, what have you found to be the most common misconception about Parkinson's?
Well, there are a lot of tips and realities that people think about Parkinson's. I think one of the misconceptions is that they don't want to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it, you know, with my own dad. You know, many people are around and they're talking and, you know, he just kind of is looking and listening. And he's even said to me, I wanted to be involved in the conversation, but you are on to the next topic. And it's a misconception that they don't want to be engaged when in fact they do, but they just, from the brain to the motor functions or even to speech, it's so delayed.
Right.
And it's strong for them to communicate.
Right. I just going to interject here. I have a childhood friend who has Parkinson's. She was a nurse, and it is so difficult because she lives in Maryland. It is so difficult to talk to her on the phone.
Right.
Because there is such a long delay between when I ask a question or whatever. But I have to have the patience. You have to have patience.
You do.
And if you don't, then it's frustrating for the person that you're speaking with. But that's the whole problem. It's not that they can't or they don't want to or they're not interested. It just, like you said, there's a little bit of a delay between what they want to say and when it comes out of the mouth.
Right. And I think for caregivers, you have to be such an advocate for the patient. I find myself handling a lot of the doctor's appointments, whether it's podiatry, dental, vision. You have a neurologist. You have your primary care.
And the therapies that come in.
And the therapy, physical, occupational, speech. So you're trying to manage, you know, so much of his care.
Sure.
That you truly have to be an advocate for them because they can't do it for themselves. And then you want to be able to get them out so that they can be amongst people. It's not that, again, it's not that my dad isn't cognitive. He doesn't have the ability to be
Take
out.
Take your time. Take your time.
Right. So you try to encourage him to, you try to make sure that he's invited to parties.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I create my own.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, there you go. There you go. That's probably a good way to go.
Yes.
Well, and we try to give him things to look forward to. So we plan different trips, although it's very difficult to do it. You have to give him something to look forward to.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Even if it's just an event or an outing, I just recently took him to Texas to see his brother.
Okay.
Even though it was only a weekend, and it was extremely difficult, and without help, I could not have done that alone. But his expression.
You could tell that he enjoyed it so much.
Exactly.
It was worth every single
minute.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Again, we need more people like you in the world.
Yes. I mean, it really makes your heart break for people that are alone with
Parkinson's. Yeah, I cannot imagine. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that there's effort. I'm sure that there's a percentage.
Yes.
I mean, again, sure. The person with the disease needs all the assistance, mm-hmm. but I think you mentioned it earlier. As a caregiver, you need a break, or you need some people to be in your corner too, because it can be very, very stressful. And I mean, you work full time, you're raising a child. You need a break.
Right. So that leads me to Jean's question.
Okay. Well, what role have friends and family played in your life? And what other support systems have you found to be helpful?
I have found that the Facebook Parkinson's support groups have been extremely helpful in both learning more about Parkinson's, as well as the tools or equipment that can make their life easier. Just a couple are Parkinson's Caregiver Support, Parkinson's Support Group, A Journey Together. Just a couple of the support groups that I belong to.
Okay.
I enjoy listening to their questions, comments, complaints.
Okay.
Because then I read and then I think, oh, okay, it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that you realize very quickly who you can rely on for support and who you can't. Mm-hmm. And that includes not only friends, but family as well. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for the very small circle of support that I have, both in my family and close friends. They know my daily struggles in juggling being a homeowner, a mom, a full-time employee, and a caregiver.
Yeah, that's...
They know I try my best, do my best, and don't have much to offer.
Don't say that.
I was going to say,
Don't say that.
That could be... That couldn't be less
true. You're
putting
too much on yourself.
You are... Yes.
Well, that was one thing that the support group did say. There is no perfect caregiver.
Right.
So you just try your best. And, you know, I try to manage his daily care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a full-time job.
It is.
And yet you have a full-time job. And being a parent is a full-time job. So that's another full-time job.
And
being a homeowner is a full-time job. So, you know, not to... You know, you're a superwoman in all of this because you're juggling so many different things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, you definitely also probably need time for yourself because it's overwhelming.
Yes.
And then with COVID on top of it, I can't imagine.
For sure.
Yeah. And Liz, how can our listeners learn more about you and your, is there a book coming out? made for TV movie?
No, I don't. I don't have any followers, and I really don't post a lot on social media.
Well, what are the social media accounts that you count on for support? You could give them a shout.
Yeah, the Facebook. There are two that I follow on Facebook, which is Parkinson's Caregiver Support and Parkinson's Support Group, A Journey Together. And although I don't have a following, and I don't post a lot. I'm private on Facebook, but I do have an Instagram account.
Okay.
And my Instagram is work, live, breathe.
Oh.
Love it.
Love it. Love it. So. Perfect. Also, great title for your future book.
Right. Yes. Yes. Well, Liz, thank you so much. I mean, this was an incredible journey that you're taking with your dad and the energies that you're putting in. You can feel it in mm-hmm. your voice. It's so much work, and we're not going to keep you from him because I know that you got quite a hike to get back to him. So thank you for joining us, and we wish you the best of health as you continue on your journey. And I know it's difficult, but you're doing it. And don't say that you're not enough. You are more than enough.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I appreciate the platform to be able to speak on behalf of caregivers. And I just appreciate being here. Thank you.
We appreciate your story.
Yes. I think a lot of people, compelling. And your tips are amazing and focus on symptoms that people may not realize, you know, that it should be further investigated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can drop us a line at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something that you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.